Blog Talk Radio. What a happy day. What a happy day. Hallelujah. Good evening, everybody. Pastor Bruce Rivers, you're in tune to the fourth installment of The Men at the Well. I'm Pastor Bruce Rivers at the Mount Moriah First Baptist Church in the wonderful city of Dos Palos, California, right smack dab in the middle of Santa Cali in the valley in Cali. Amen. And just we're here today. Well, I'm praising God today. I've got one of my best friends on the phone. I call him that. I'll get you to him. Let me get the housekeeping in order. As you know, I'm Pastor Rivers. We're at the Men at the Well, and it is sponsored by Tribe Family Channel. The Men at the Well is the program, and it's produced by Brother Bruce George, the co-founder of Russell Simmons' Deaf Poverty Jam on HBO, and the founder of the Genius is Common movement. And at the Men at the Well, so we give you a little introduction of what the Men at the Well is all about. It's a place where men come, a place where men come, and we can talk about men's stuff. We can be set free, and based on the part of the scripture from the Gospel of John, you know about the woman at the well, amen? Well, over, if you John chapter 4, verse, down around about verse 28, after Jesus has dealt with the woman at the well and told her, and she went running and telling everybody. The Bible says in John 4, chapter 4, verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things I've ever done. Is this not the Christ? And then later on, the men, of course, the men dropped what they were doing and came out. And they heard Jesus, and he talked the same things he probably talked about her, about the living water. She'd never thirst again. And then later on, the men would say they came and besought him, and they told her, not because you told us, but we've now seen him for ourselves. And I'm here to tell you, men have to see Jesus for themselves, and women too. But we're at the Men at the Well program today, and we're thankful for Tribe Family Channel and Bruce George for producing it. But today on the show, all the way from Dayton, Ohio, I've got a dear brother in the Lord, a friend, a mentor. Oh, man, what can I say? He's just a brother. Hey, man. I want to introduce everybody to Pastor Donovan Larkins. He's the founder and president of Shekinah Ranch Youth Foundation. He's also the president of the Answer Media Group. And he's also got an Innocence Project. And I'll let him talk about all of that. But Donovan, say hello to everybody, Pastor.
How are you doing this evening? It's good to be here, and I'm honored to be a part.
Amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you know how we do it here at the program. We always let our guests give us a little overview, a little over of what he's done. Donovan's got so much going on right now. Oh, my God, he'll just have to tell you, and then I'll jump in when I can, where I can, to talk about some things. But, Donovan, go ahead and give us a little shot of what's going on out there in Ohio.
Well, right now we're dealing with 3 or 4 inches of snow. I know you want to know about that, don't you, Pastor Bruce?
Sir, do, because I was supposed to be coming out there. And I said, we weren't going to come. It was going to snow, and so it snowed. Oh, no. California, Donovan, we drive in the snow and go home. You know how we do.
well, it's not uncommon for us to have snow. It's the week before Christmas, and in fact, I'm hearing people say it's the snow is an added feature. It's starting to look a lot like Christmas, and it's not really that bad. In the next couple of days, we're going to have some zero temperature weather, but it's Ohio, and that's what's part. But what we're doing here in our organization is really the heartbeat of God, what I believe, because our church was formed in 1984. That puts us with some seniority as it comes to public ministry. But 15 years ago, we started an outreach called Shekinah Ranch. And, of course, it started with 18 acres. Now we have 150 acres. And it's an agriculture-based program where we mentor youth. We teach them real life skills, decision-making, problem-solving, critical thinking. And we start from age four, and we go all the way through adulthood, but we now have appropriated a summer youth employment program where we teach them real entrepreneurship. So it's quite involved, and we're excited about it. It takes a lot of work. We just completed building a 6,000-square-foot expansion to our aquaculture facility. Aquaculture is the process of raising fish, growing fish for food. So we raise tilapia here. And a number of other items where we're really proud of.
Let me say, ladies and gentlemen, I you know, in this great social media world that we live in, that's literally how I met Pastor Donovan online one day, and I think we reached out to each other in the chat room and Facebook, and then we began to find we certainly had the same biblical worldview. You know, we are conservative, pro-life preachers, and we talk the talk and we walk the walk. We are here. We have a foundational truth on all the things that God says in the Bible. We hold straightforward to. And Donovan, Pastor Donovan, is a no-nonsense preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invited him, I think at that time, to a summit we were having with Star Parker and CURE, the Coalition for Urban Renewal and Education. And Donovan came, and he's now part of our pastor's network. And he's just an amazing guy. As we dig into this, you'll find Donovan, give your website. Give me your website early on. I want to get that up right now. We'll do it again later. But tell them how to get to you right quick.
Well, I really want people to just go to our Facebook site. You know, they can go to Donovan Larkins on Facebook, or they can go to the Protecting Innocence Project, or they can go to The Answer, and that's THA Answer. And, you know, we'll dig something else out because we do have the Shekinah LLC where they can look at some of the products that we have, and I'll pull that up and make sure we get that to them before the end of the broadcast. How about that?
Yeah, that's wonderful, wonderful. And we'll go back and we're going to dig into the Shekinah Ranch, which is I'm totally excited about. When Donovan first came to me, I'm going to say Pastor Donovan, first came to me, we were talking about the Innocence Project, and there's so many wonderful elements to what God has put in this man of God's heart. He's a lion chaser. That's part of what we are in dealing with another dear friend, Lonnie Poindexter. The story of Benaniah who went out against all odds, chased a lion in the snow, and since there's snow there right now, We chase the lions of injustice and the lions of people going against what God says, and we're bold enough to jump down in the pit, amen, and through God's grace and mercy, we're slaying every lion, amen, that comes against the knowledge and the word of God. But Pastor Donovan has such a unique program. As I said, myself and my pastor, Pastor Herb Luss, we're getting ready to take a trip to see. But you had something real interesting happen not long ago, Pastor Donovan. Somebody visited you. You want to talk about that? You want to go into that thing and let people know what's going on right now?
Well, we're somewhat persecuted as a result of that, but we looked at this previous election. And number one, I have been in the place where I was not getting involved with politics for years. And of course, you know, I've spoken about this before on how Lonnie and I began to discuss some things, and I felt the leading of the Holy Spirit to get involved. And
amen.
So we looked at the election, and we saw that the Trump campaign was most fitting to our, you know, worldview and what our convictions were. And like a friend of mine, Jeff Haygood, he said, if he was going to just be a single-issue voter, he was going to vote for Donald Trump, because if not, since Donald Trump said that he was going to preserve our Christian values, our faith-based values, then that would be the single issue that I would vote for him, because if not, I would have to, my congregation would have to get me out of jail every week, because
yeah.
I'm going to preach the gospel.
Amen.
And so the Trump tour, they came and visited our ranch, and they stayed with us for a couple of hours and found that they really enjoyed themselves. And what I want to say to people is we found them to be very down-to-earth people. We enjoyed their company, and they enjoyed our company, and we look forward to further dialogue as they, you know, get their transition team up and operational. And we're going to do whatever we can do to make sure that our urban centers get full benefit from the relationships.
Amen. And I'm in lockstep with Pastor Donovan in that same aspect. You know, sometimes you take a lot of heat when you deal with things. But I know one of the ladies in another program I listened to, the exaltation of anything above Christ, according to the Bible, is sin. So if you put anything above that, you got to deal with God on that. You don't deal with me, because I'm gonna love you either way. I don't really care. People that know me and know about me, I got nothing but love for you, baby. And so as we talk about what Pastor Donovan has done, if you go to the website, you'll see they're growing fish. Amen. They're creating maple syrup. They're raising horses. They're doing rabbits, and the rabbits for pets, and of course for, you know, growing our food. Amen. The way we did it back in the old days, and I laugh. Pastor Donovan is a deer hunter himself. Amen. And you got to see the videos of him up in the blind. You know, look, I call him Brambo. Amen. He's a brother. All the paint and all the stuff, and with the bow and arrows type things, amen. And it's just an amazing thing to see a brother that has decided. You know, he wasn't a farmer, amen, but now he is, amen. He definitely is. And we hooked up because I live in an urban farming area myself, and I hope to be one of the duplicating sites that Pastor Donovan is looking to do around the country as we do. And he'll talk more about that. But there's just some wonderful things that this man of God, he once again, he's faithful, he's dedicated, and he's very directed. So, you know, and we know that there's pastors and preachers that do what they do and whatnot, but this man shares the gospel every chance he gets and to anybody, and that's our call. We don't discriminate, amen, because God said he's not a respecter of persons in dealing with that. So, Pastor Donovan, you want to, your flagship, which I call it your flagship right now, this growing fish project you're doing, you want to talk a little bit about that? Whatever you care to divulge, go ahead.
Well, first of all, I'm a pastor.
And there you go.
You know, what I don't want in with our church, and what I didn't want with our church, I didn't want our church to be closed into the four walls and it's just, you know, my 440 or 400 and no more. And so God dealt with me that we would be an outreach church, a church where we minister to our own people and build them up and train them to do the work of the ministry and teach them faith and help them understand how to receive from God. But God wants us, he wants to bless us so he can make us a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
So we use that as our motto, that God's blessing us, but he wants to make us a blessing, and that making us a blessing is to reach out. And so we feel that, you know, today's war is a war for our youth, and the devil is reaching out for our youth to destroy them in every way possible. And that's a whole nother story, but we said, you know, because I grew up on the basketball court, I did not grow up, you know, on a farm. But when we started considering how we were going to reach out to youth, I had already been buying and reselling horses, and we took a bunch of youth out to the boarding stable at the time, and we saw these kids' eyes light up. I mean, they were like beacons of light, and they were excited. And while we were going through this process and learning horses, you know, people were telling us, black people are afraid of big animals. And I said, oh, baloney, but I found out that to be very, very true. And so we wanted to set out and we wanted to solve that problem. So we ended up leasing some land. My boarding fees were a lease payment. It might have been a purchase payment or a mortgage payment then, but we leased land and we started growing this project. And now we're into it with 150 acres. We have a number of greenhouses. We have just a state-of-the-art stables where we have our own 20 head of horses, and this is an atmosphere where kids come out here. They don't necessarily always like it, but by the time it's time for them to leave, they don't want to leave. So it's very effective. We just refuse to watch drugs and crime and everything invade our community, and we would be non-interested doing nothing to provide an answer. And so we came up with the answer because we believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ and compassionate, you know, fire-baptized Christians, I believe that we are the answer to the earth. It's called being salt and light.
Ooh, amen, amen. And Pastor Donovan, how big is the ranch house?
Well, the ranch house is rather small, actually. It was built, it's an old house that we refurbished. And it was built back in the early 1900s. I think it's 1918 that this house, and we have another ranch house that was built in 1890s. And so we've redone these facilities, and they're really beautiful. We have a lady that she's a professional organizer and home decorator. So it's a place where when you come, you'll find yourself very, very comfortable.
And Pastor, how many kids at a time do you have there? What is the the length?
We service about 500 kids a year, you know.
Wow.
And of course that's growing because we have a program that we can actually take any of our education components and reach out to schools or homeschoolers or churches. And we can live stream that right into your facility. So, I mean, if people want to contact us on how to get involved with those things, they are pay to play, but they can call us at 937-889-0047 or, you know, or message us through one of our various, our Facebook page or our Facebook site or any one of our Facebook pages that they you know, if you Google Donovan Larkin's Shekinah Ranch, there will be pages that come up, and they'll see our YouTube videos and the whole nine yards. So we're very out in the open, and we're not hidden anywhere. They can find us easily.
Oh, amen. So now you say 500 kids. Is that at a time, or are you equipped for that, or what's the day camp, or do they come?
This is actually a day program. It's a day camp program. But we do more than just camps because we've learned that when people hear camp, they hear one thing, and we do programming year-round. So we have some students that come out here for their community service hours for their schools or for their various programs for their churches. This is a great place for community service hours because they learn work ethic, they learn integrity, they learn compassion. And they learn the value for life. Now, we're talking, you know, you mentioned pro-life. One of the things that politically it's teaching teaching generations of youth that it's okay to kill. Now, we teach our kids the value of life because we teach them the respect for animals. We teach them how to care for the animals and how to care for one another. But when you've got a government that legalizes killing babies, whether they're in the womb or out of the womb, then what are you telling a whole generation of kids? You're telling them it's okay to kill. And so, you know, we are biblically based, we're Christ-centered, and God tells us to value life, doesn't he?
That's what he does. He does. Life begins and ends with God. You know, I shared that with somebody at one of my speaking engagements. I said, you know, it starts with God, and it ends in the whole cycle. You know, God created the. I believe Scripture teaches us that He knew us in our mother's womb, and He knows the beginning from the end for every individual, whether we understand that or not. That's a true statement. To every man's appointed a time to die. You don't know when it is. Heck, you didn't know when you were going to get here. But now that you're here, to reject that sound doctrine is ludicrous to me. But we do, you know, and we know we got an adversary. And his whole trick is confusing us. The Bible says we look in a mirror darkly, but one day we'll see him face to face. And when that clarity comes to you, when you make that decision to come to him, that's what we do. And then you got to accept the whole package. You know, you can't like they say straddle the fence. Well, somebody I read, I think it was Franklin Graham or somebody said, because if you straddle the fence, you got to realize the devil owns the fence. And that's so when you fall, that's where you fall on the fence. You got to decide which side you're going to be on. And I, like I say, I'm honored the 700 plus pastors in our CURE network and the 7,000 plus pastors in the Coalition of African American Pastors and then the Christians in general that we talk about. You know, I stopped seeing color myself a long time ago. And I know that rubs some people the wrong way, but you know, look, I'm black right now. I'll be black when I go to bed, and I'll be black when I wake up. But above all of that, I'm still Bruce Rivers. I'm just a brother, you know, a brother in Christ to anybody that wants to be that way, and loving and caring. But Pastor Donovan, I'm so thrilled, as I say, in our program, I've got a. To get some people to help understand a little bit more about you, what would you say has been your life's greatest lesson in your past or your present?
No, that takes some real consideration. My greatest lesson is to understand, and I think this is the greatest lesson anybody can ever get in life, and that's understand who God is.
Uh-huh.
And along with that, understand who we are in relationship to God. And
my
so
God.
That is my greatest, you know, knowing who God is and who I am in relationship with him is the greatest lesson I think that's there for anybody to and on earth to learn. And without knowing that, people are confused.
Wow.
But you know that question really causes me to go back to what we were discussing before,
mm-hmm.
and that is, you know, until you know those two things, you don't know what the boundaries of life is, and that's where I think our country has been headed onto a bottomless pit. Because then we're able, you know, people buy into all kind of agendas, and they buy into the agenda to kill babies. They buy into the agenda that, you know, liberalism is okay. That means you can do anything. Anything you want to do is okay. You know, if men want to marry a man, they can marry a man. If a woman wants to marry a woman, they can marry a woman. Look, we had a child come here. We've had children come to the ranch and say, I will be glad when they legalize sex with animals, because
wow.
I want to marry an animal. And we start having to help them understand that, well, animals are in a different class. We don't marry animals. We marry someone of the opposite sex, and we have to help them understand who God is, because once they understand who God is, then all this other stuff gets put in perspective. Now, the listeners may not know how far off that cliff our country has become, because 20 plus states in the United States has already legalized sex with animals. You know, of course, I'm not proud of it. Ohio is one of those. I think California is another one of those states.
Wow.
So when you don't know God, you know, are you think that, you know, man was made by, you know, evolved from some cell or some amoeba or something, then there's no absolute. So when we know God, then that sets life in its total perspective. And then we understand there's some absolutes. There are some things that we absolutely do not do. And there are some things that we absolutely do. And so that's still the greatest lesson I've ever learned. And, you know, Dr. Lester Sumrall was my pastor for years, and he taught us that these are the greatest things you can learn. One is know who God is. Number two, know who you are in relationship with God. And then number three, know what you're called to do. Okay.
Wow. Wow. Know who God is. Tell me number two again. I'm writing.
Know who you are in relationship with God.
Yeah.
You know. How did God make us? He made us in his image.
Oh, God.
After his likeness. You know, and so God told us to, when we know God and then we know how God made us, then that solves a lot of these problems when you think about political correctness.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you something. When I was 10 years old, my mom and dad had got a divorce, and I wanted, like most boys, I wanted to go be with my daddy, okay?
Uh-huh.
But there was a lot about my daddy I didn't know about that my mom was trying to keep me from. So I pushed and pushed and pushed. And so at 10, I went to live with my daddy. But at one day, my brother and I went out to my older brother. We drove around, and then I said, I'm ready to go back home. And so he dropped me back at home, and I did what I always do. I ran in there to talk to my daddy. And
uh-huh.
I was horrified when I opened the door. I was horrified at what I saw.
Uh-huh.
I saw him in the bed with another man,
wow,
naked, doing unmentionable things. And that totally turned my life upside down. I knew that it was wrong. Nobody had to tell me it was wrong. I had an inward compass that told me that was wrong. And there was two things I decided that day. I decided I knew that was wrong and I would never want a part of it. And now I was 10 years old. You know, you're still trying to figure out life at that point in time. But I had enough knowing about who God was on the inside of me to know that was wrong. And number two, I made up my mind I would never be victimized. I would never be victimized. And so I write the book on protecting children from molesters because God trained me as a little boy on how to protect myself, and I never was molested.
Mm.
So I that's where protecting innocence gets its origin from me because I live my life, I'm dedicated to it, to train families how to keep their children from being victims of molesters. Of which,
wow,
a lot of them are family members. And so here at Shekinah Ranch, we have a very comprehensive approach of teaching life learning, real life learning. We are very bold to tell people that this is a faith-based organization. We're teaching children Christ-centered facts. And some parents put their children here during the summer just so they can have the experience in a Christ-centered atmosphere where we're strengthening their faith and strengthening their values for life and, of course, strengthening their respect for life. And I think that's one of the greatest ministries out there for people to learn how to respect the God-given life that we have been given.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you just joined us on the show and you're wondering what you're listening to, when you invite two preachers to the show, two blood-bought preachers to the show, you got to let us dance the way we dance. We, Pastor Donovan and Ida, we don't really pull any punches in this thing. This is not, and this has nothing to do with politics. It's all to do about biblical foundational truths and morality that we stand on. And if pastors are going to be led by God to do what God has told them to do, this is what we must teach, and this is what we must talk about. The things that the world, the adversary, has turned our world upside down, and, you know, we are the ones that have been commissioned. If God has called you to the ministry, it's his ministry, it's not yours. Amen. And all of us have different gifts and different things. I applaud it. And Pastor Donovan, because like when I first heard him say, he knew absolutely nothing about the farming things and the growing things he's gotten into. But his heart was following where God led him. And now he's got a 150-acre ranch, which helps children develop and adults redevelop into, I guess you could say, replenish their biblical foundational truths. And I'm just proud to know him and proud to know that we are on the same team, amen, doing what God has asked us to do. And what a great thing. That's a great lesson for us. I'm gonna go to this other question I'm going to ask, and I'm enjoying Pastor Donovan. Like I said, we talk all the time, 2, 3 in the morning, we're up talking before he has to get up and go chop wood. And I mean, he does real work, young people, real work, parents, chopping wood for the boiler. He's off the grid. And so I get extremely blessed, you know, just listening to the stuff he's doing, because I haven't chopped wood in quite a long time personally. And I think last time I did it, I used a log splitter. So what I hear Donovan do on a daily basis, making sure the ranch keeps power and the things he does to protect the fish and protect the animals. You know, if any of you know about farming, there's some serious stuff going on the farm, amen? So I guess, Pastor Donovan, where do you draw your strength from to move past the challenges you face daily? I think I know the answer to that, but go ahead and tell us anyway.
Well, you know, I'm a man of prayer. You know, deep prayer, actually, you know, and I pray. I have a prayer regimen daily. I study the Word of God daily. And here's where I get a lot of strength from, and you don't hear a lot of preachers talking about it. But I'm a firm believer and follower of sanctification, you know. And I believe in living separate from the world system. Now, I'm in the world, but not of the world, but I don't party. I don't hang around with people that's, you know, living their life in such a way that God is displeased with. Of course, I don't drink. I don't smoke. You know, I want to live a sanctified life where the Holy Spirit can have his maximum expression through me in whatever I'm doing. So the doctrine of Bible says sanctification brings strength.
Oh yeah.
And
oh,
Psalm
yeah.
105 says that we should cry out for God's strength.
Yes.
And you know what happens now? I'm over 40 years in the ministry, okay? And I have learned this. And I learned it from some much older men of God when I was very young in my 20s. And that is that if I follow the wrong person, I end up where they're at or worse.
My God.
So I watch who I feed from and who I sit with. You know, I don't think there's any place for Christian ministers to be in bars and drinking and that type of thing. Now, we have a modern day Christianity today that I think is powerless, literally powerless. They're not getting anybody healed physically. They're not getting people delivered from demonic activity. But we do, and I must say we are enjoying a wonderful anointing where people are getting healed. People are getting delivered. I've seen cancers melt right in front of my face. You know, I've seen demoniac people who are in the mental hospital. We prayed over them, and they were released immediately. And so I protect that Pastor Bruce, I protect that in my life. I don't allow people to come into my circle and bring their dirty junk because they like it. Doesn't mean that I like it. You know, it's like somebody blowing cigarette smoke in your face.
Wow.
You know, I don't want it. So, you know, those are the things. Sanctification is one of the big areas of prayer life, of course, and time in the Word. You know, sanctification includes fasting, you know, regularly. These are the things that the Christians of old, they found to be their prime makeup. And I'm still old school. I want to be in the presence of God. I want to pray. I want to fast. You know, I'm single, but I live celibate. You know, I don't practice fornication and all of that type stuff. And it keeps my mind clear. Living right keeps my mind clear. It keeps my appetite sound. And it keeps strength flowing into my body and into my desires.
Ooh, glory. Ooh, man. Listen, people. Call your friends. Call your friends and tell them to get on the line. Tell them if you can't go to the website www.blogtalkradio. I hope I'm saying it right. Blogtalkradio.com / Gumbo for the Soul, and that'll take you to the site. www.blogtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul and come to the show. Or if you're not online, you can always go to the phone and just listen in. We're not taking calls just yet, still getting used to some things. But 347-539-5285. So you can listen to what God is bringing forth through Pastor Donovan Larkins from Dayton, Ohio, founder and president of Shekinah Ranch Youth Foundation. There is some strong, strong leading of the Holy Spirit happening on the phone line today. And this is what we talked about yesterday when I told my brother, I said, well, what do you want to touch on? What don't you want to touch on? Because, I mean, there's some proprietary stuff going on here, but I'm just excited. That he told me, you know what he said to me? He said, let the Holy Ghost lead us where he wants us to go. And I'm honored at that. Being men and women that preach and teach this gospel, we must preach and teach by being led by the Spirit of God. And I don't preach for myself, amen? I'm like Pastor Donovan. I study, I stay before the Lord. You know, I am married. I got a great wife and a great family, and we've all had adversities in our lives and whatnot. We draw strength from the same God. I told you, I knew where he was going to go, but I needed you to hear it so that you can be encouraged. Amen? So here's the third question. What would you say to someone that's still stuck where you were delivered from? And I don't know all your deliverances. You know, I know I was delivered from the drug addiction, delivered from the guilt, you know, being a post-abortive father, those kind of things in my life. I know it was the Word of God. But how about you, Pastor?
Well, can I regress a little bit?
Yeah, go right ahead. Your show.
Before I answer that question, I want to talk to the listening audience about sanctification a little bit more. And I want to say this, you know, we have had one of the most, for me as a black man and as a black man, a black preacher, I have really want to say I've been really, really one of the most. I was excited when we ended up having our first black president. But our first black president has hurt so many young people because we have in our culture, we have so many children growing up without their fathers. Okay. And to have the first black president who is a man say that it's okay for you to be to consider alternative lifestyles. That has been devastating for our children because they all suffer when they don't have a father and a mother there raising them together. They suffer from a real identity crisis. So then they hear someone like that say it's okay to experiment with diverse lifestyles. And so I plan to launch a movement over social media to address that, to say, boys, be boys. Girls, be girls. Be the best girl you can be. Be the best boy you can be. Somebody said, well, what about that child that doesn't, is not sure? Well, if your son came in and said that, you know, he was experimenting with drugs, you wouldn't say, let me give you all the drugs you need. You would say, let me get you help. You know, if you had a son or a daughter that said, I am addicted to killing people, you wouldn't say, well, let's just legalize killing people. That's not the answer. And so there are a lot of people that are out there confused about their identity. But that's where the church needs to step up. And see, I won't say the church has failed, even though it has. But I'm saying the church needs to step up. We need to pray that God would put ambassadors behind the pulpit that have courage and compassion, that have authority to make sure people understand who God is. Now, to answer your question, which I forgot what it was. you might want to refresh my mind because that thing about sanctification and helping people understand sex. That's where I was going. Help people understand sex.
Okay, I just want to make sure. I was, you know, the adversary tried to get in. You just need to know my phone's shut down. Okay. And I had to grab my cell phone. All I could do was show on my cell phone because it could shut down. My landline shut down, okay? And I got back on. I thank God for my engineer who was able to bring me back in. But I did hear. I heard him grab my other phone. And man, but you're right. Sanctification. Oh, my God. You know, we don't even talk about that stuff. We barely talk about sin in the church anymore. And so you know the question. Like you said, back it up. That the Holy Ghost led you to do that. What I asked was, what would you say to someone who's still stuck where they were delivered from? You know, if you're still there, you've been delivered, man. But you've been delivered from some things. And so, yeah, you were on point. Like you say, fornication, all that stuff we do. We either go live holy. He said, be holy as I am holy. And, you know, and that's an amazing, amazing testimony and testifying situation you just went through. So, yeah, you can go and pick up again, man. I just want to let you know I'm back here. That thing got me, man. I said, devil, you're a lie, and the truth ain't in you. You ain't going to cut me off of this because I need this just as much as everybody else does. Amen?
Well, the thing about it, I was finishing up on that part to talk to the listeners. You know, millions and millions of people need to understand what sex is. They are letting all the different type of deviants define sex for our society. And this is where the church has failed because it doesn't teach on sex. Well, God gave sex to be a very holy experience between two people who love each other in holy matrimony, okay?
Wow.
Sex never was designed for recreation.
Wow.
I mean, you know, we play basketball and football and soccer and volleyball for recreation. We ride bikes. You know, we play dodgeball, volleyball, and all this type of stuff. That's recreation. But our society has fallen in its moral stability and moral clarity, and it has sex as recreation, so you have pornography. That's what's called recreational sex. And so, but God, so this thing has gotten, so people masturbate. That's recreational sex. And what it is self-abuse, because God never ordained masturbation. God did not give a man his organs or a woman her organs so that they can have self-pleasure.
Wow.
You know, but in the recreational world, they're like, get your sex toys. And then you hear people say, well, God understands. I'll tell you, as a very young man, Pastor Bruce, I gave my life to the Lord at 19. All right, I'll be 59 in a few weeks.
Amen.
Right? So I remember I had this desire for women as a very young man. I'm sure you understand that's normal. And so I went to a pastor, and I said, "How do I address this?" And he said, "This is what he told me. He said, masturbate. God understands."
Wow.
And I left out of his office scratching my head. I said, that is not right.
Yeah.
But if we're going to have a revival in the United States of America, and I don't know, I just say God must be speaking to a number of people over this broadcast, because I never thought I'd be bringing this up, but if we're going to have a moral change, a moral shift in America, we're going to have people understand what sex is all about, and we're going to have to teach them so that they understand, so that we're not sodomizing each other. This country is not a moral country. This country is not a moral country. I mean, people were all upset because of what they brought out Donald Trump said 11 years ago. And I said, what are they all flustered about? Do you know how much money was grossed on the first weekend of the, what was that, the Different Shades of Gray?
Yeah. Hello.
I mean, 55,000 women went out and bought the book. 55,000
wow.
women. We can bring it up. And so anyway, we need to teach godliness, whether people change their habits or not. We need to teach it, and we need to teach it strong. We need to write books. The books need to be on Walmart shelves, Meijer shelves, secular shelves, not just in the Christian bookstore. And we need to. The Dr. Summerall's got a book out. I would hope everybody Google it and buy it. It's called 60 Things That God Said About Sex.
Oh God, yeah.
God did not make us animals.
Amen. Yeah. I'm thrilled because, like you said, this is what we said yesterday. The prophetic aspect of what you said was, we'll just pray, and we'll let God decide where he wants to go. And I know, we're hitting some cylinders here. My engineer is shouting and hollering, typing LOL and hallelujah, to God be the glory, and all that kind of stuff. I'm enjoying. And you know, and of course, that's what we come to the well for, Ben. We come to the well to bear our innermost situations freely, that God hears us and God is able to heal us. And Pastor Donovan is sparking. You know, I've had in my previous shows, I did, you know, same thing. I mean, I had Little Anthony Imperials. And my God, by the time he got through talking, I was calling him Pastor Anthony, because this man's life is in God's hands. Oh, I know he sung the songs that we slow grind to and dance to, Little Anthony Imperials. And before him, we had Bubba Knight and Lamont Macklemore from the Fifth Dimension and Sonny Turner from the Platters. And all these men's lives are in God's hands now. Well, you say, it took them long enough or whatever. Some people came early. Some came late. That's why God put that scripture in the Bible. Everybody don't get there at the same time, but we all can get the same reward if we come to him correct. And that's the beautiful thing about it. I had some people tell me, man, how could you support this when this was said and that was said? I was like, wait a minute. You know, I remember being in the locker rooms playing football. I remember how we talked, you know. I remember the things that God has allowed me to confess and repent from, especially being in the drug culture, being on the road, traveling with the entertainers. I was blessed to travel with, but I didn't do what I should have did with it. Amen. I got to see a great number of places and be experienced of things. But of course, I wasn't living right. I lived the club life. I lived the dope dealer life. I lived the drug addict life. I lived the prison, and I also lived the church life. But church without Christ is just a club. Amen. And you're right, Pastor Donald, about the sanctification part of it. You know, my children that should have been here are gone, but they're with God. But like, you have to come to grips. You don't even know what you're doing. And that's why here's the topic, Black Fatherhood Aborted. How many of us have went into those abortion rooms either to help out or pay for them or not know? And now we sit here and look at one-third of our population have been decimated behind one woman who had a desire through being led by the devil, I believe, to eliminate black and brown people. And
let me
you
ask
say
you a question.
Yeah, come on.
Let me ask you a question. Who came up with the term abortion?
Come on. I need to hear that. Come on.
Well, the reason why I ask is because I'm trying to talk to certain pro-life groups, and I was like, where did you get this? And why do you call a killing station an abortion clinic?
Oh, amen.
When you call it a clinic, you put it in the realm of health care. There is nothing about if there's nothing about murder, it's like, so they come up with most people call it social engineering, but they need to Google gaslighting. Coming up with terminology that is sold into our culture that causes certain practices to be acceptable. Now, you can't tell me that if I went and killed a baby, I would be in prison.
You're right.
And the prisoners, when they find out that I either killed a baby or I molested a child, they will kill me in prison. Okay,
that's exactly
that
right.
tells me that some prisoners have more of a moral stability, a moral correctness than people in the government that are saying, and I heard one of the candidates say, I am going to stand by Roe versus Wade. So, okay, now we have this killing culture. We have a killing culture. And so I'm proud of Donald Trump to say I'm going to stand for pro-life. I'm proud of him.
Exactly.
I'm proud of him for him to stand up and say, and by the way, I'm proud of him for him to say, we're going to say Merry Christmas again.
Amen.
So we've got a political movement we've got a political movement in place. We've had a political movement in place that wants to shut the mouths of people who are moral. You know, we go back to Jerry Falwell, and he had the moral majority.
Yeah.
Well, the moral majority has become cowards. And I want to challenge the moral majority to start standing up. Right is still right, and wrong is still wrong.
Still wrong.
And I will never allow my mouth to be shut.
You know, Pastor Donovan, I'm glad we're on the same team. You have blessed me. I'll be at the March for Life West Coast coming up in January, speaking with Pastor Walter Hoy, Dr. Alveda King, who was on the show with us last week, and this move, like you say, I'm through calling it a clinic. You blessed me. That is fresh oil from on high. That is a fresh anointing right there in my spirit. You're right. It's not a clinic. It's a murder place. You know, Don Gosnell, we know about Gosnell. He was, that wasn't no clinic he was running. That was a murder bill.
9 o'clock.
That was a murder bill, and I'm here to tell you, Doc, I'm so excited. You have blessed me, man. I know my. Let me see. I gotta take my show. I know sometimes we go an hour and a half. I want to see if we're gonna go. We're gonna go all the way through. I want my engineer to tell me how far we're gonna go, because you know, well, sometimes we have one person, we do an hour. I could do this all night with you, man. But I'll get my cues here in a second. But some people want to. Brother Lonnie's on here talking about, where's your chat room? I said, man, you know, he think we doing lion chasers. We got all that stuff. But he wants to see. We're not big time. We're not with AFA yet. You know, if AFA picks us up, this is Blog Talk Radio. We don't have a chat room yet, Lonnie. And Lonnie wants to come on the phone and say something. So my engineer just told me I have 30 minutes more if I like. I really would. I wish I could get Lonnie in here on the phone. I tell you, she could probably do that for me, but I don't know how to do it yet. It's only my fourth show. He's trying to make me. He's been doing this show for a year. You see how your friends do you, Pastor Donovan? He wants to get in on this. I know he does. But I hope
you can get him in. I mean, we'd have a good fellowship.
You know how we do, man. We like we were last night. Let me see my engineer. I'll even ask the question. If she can bring another person on the line, I'll tell him to call. I know he's listening. Lonnie Poindexter, if you can call him. If my engineer can bring him on the line, we'll get him in there. But right now, she said okay. Okay. So, Mr. Poindexter.
Pastor Bruce.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm looking at this right now on Google. It says 50 Shades of Grey has now passed the 500 million global box office mark.
You're kidding.
No, $500 million at the box office mark. And that's, no, wait a minute. That was as of March
5, 2015. Oh, my God.
So why is people, now, like you said, you were in the football locker rooms. I was in the basketball locker rooms.
Right.
And now this is what I tell pastors, because it's just a really, really big issue. I said, look, if a man can't, what he said was horrible. It was horrible.
Right. Right. Horrible.
But it wasn't unforgivable.
Amen.
It wasn't unforgivable. And if anybody comes into my church and they talk like that, they're going to be rebuked, and we're going to forgive them, and we're going to teach them the way of righteousness. But we were not voting for a priest or a prophet. We're voting for someone who can take a hold of ISIS and wring them out, number one.
Wow.
We're looking for someone that will help us protect the Constitution of the United States. We're looking for someone that will stop the massive slaughter of babies. I mean, do you know the figures, the numbers of how many children have been killed since they instituted Roe versus Wade?
Well, I know, 60 million, and 35% of those are in the African American community, where we lost one third of our population, and we won't even talk about it.
Now, keeping this in perspective, I had an opportunity to sit with Governor Pence, now our vice president elect, and I told him, Governor Pence, help us push back on pedophilia.
Uh-huh.
I said, 3 million children were reported molested in 2015, and that's of 65% of the ones that report. 3 million. Now, we're not talking about human trafficking. That's a whole other dynamic. It's one that must enter into the discussion. We're talking about domestic molestation, people molesting children.
Wow.
So many people that follow this, and they can come on to our Protecting Innocence site. Come on, join the team. You know, we're raising hundreds of thousands of dollars to help. It takes money to purchase ads and do awareness. But Liberty University, there's a lady over there by the name of Dr. Judith Reisman. Judith Reisman. Are you here?
Pastor Donovan, I think I just heard the line chaser come off.
Well, you know, I know people, so I was able to get on to the show. You guys were talking about something very near and dear to me. And my brother Donovan Larkins is on the show, and so I had to chime in and say, great interview. Man, wish I could have chimed in sooner.
Well, Dr. Dunn, everybody, just for the benefit of everybody, Mr. Lonnie Poindexter, the host of Lion Chasers on Urban Family Talk on American Family Radio. He does a show every morning inside the Beltway. We do it. He catches at 8 o'clock Pacific time every morning, Monday through Friday, and he's a dear friend, a classmate, a cousin, a brother, whatever all those things is. So we appreciate you, my engineer, and Lonnie Vinn, and we do this all the time. Yeah, we do this on the regular phone. So I'm going to get out of the way and let Lonnie say what he's going to do. Donovan, finish your point, and then Lonnie, grab him.
Well, I was just wanting people to know, if they will go to Google and Google Dr. Judith Reisman, they'll find resource material there that will help them protect their families from dirty. I don't have anything nice to say about dirty, ugly, mean, wicked molesters. But before Lonnie gets started, I want everybody to know, all the women to know, he's single, okay? He did this to me on one of his broadcasts. He did this to me on one of his broadcasts, and so I wanted to return him the favor. He's single, available, and you women just, you know, you need to know he's a quality guy.
And that's what happens when you come to the well. You got to spill it all out.
See, now, you know that's not right. Now, I'm not going to sit here and quote scripture and verse with two pastors, but I do hear the scripture that says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You're not supposed to hold on to that, Pastor Donovan. You're supposed to let that go.
No, it said, hey, it said, give and it shall be given unto you. I was just blessing you, brother.
And it also says, ask.
There you go.
Shall be given.
Hey, well, you know, closed mouth don't get fed. I think Daddy said or Uncle Lottie said or somebody. ladies and gentlemen, this is my greatest show. The show of shows. I've had a wonderful time. This is my fourth installment, and I've got two a dear friend from childhood, and Lonnie, and a new brother over the last 3 years, and Pastor Donovan, and I'm elated. What God is doing. This is a format, and we're just here to talk about what we're talking about. We're not talking about nobody. We're talking about what we're talking about. Go ahead, Lonnie.
No, thank you so much, Pastor. You know, it's really interesting, just thinking, reflecting back. It was you that were the conduit that connected me with Pastor Donovan, and just goes to show you how God does things. And Donovan, 2 years ago, came out to Washington, D.C. at my urging for a conference that we were sponsoring here in Washington, and made the trek all the way out here. And I took him to one of the Capitol Hill meetings, and he and I chopped it up for a better part of 3-4 hours on a Starbucks. So that's when I said, okay, this is just not just a casual meeting here. God is obviously doing something. And then when I look at the ministry and the work that Pastor Donovan is doing, and I had the great pleasure of actually going out to Shekinah Ranch to see up close and personal, because I've been telling him for the longest time, I got to see what you're doing. I mean, I get what you're doing, but I want to see it. And when I had the chance to see it, it just really, my spirit leaped on the inside, because it really speaks to where I feel God is taking ministries today across the country. And in particular, ministries who happen to be shepherded by men of God who happen to have the darker paint job. So just an honor, brother, to continue to connect with you and the wonderful work that you're doing. I'm going to get you back for putting me on blast on Bruce's show. because I know you'll be here for the inauguration in January, so I got to think of something creative. But, you know, the topic that you gentlemen are talking about, and again, going back to something based on a conversation I had with Pastor Donovan, when he mentioned, and we start talking about, remember Man School, Pastor Donovan?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Well, Man School is, you know, every Monday on UrbanFamilyTalk.com on Lion Chasers, we're dedicating Mondays for Man School so we can begin to talk about these things that you so eloquently state, Pastor Donovan, that because we need to begin to teach true masculinity and manhood to a generation of men who actually don't know what it actually means because popular culture has redefined it.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, we were talking about sex, and that, let me say, you know, God, he required Abraham to have circumcision. Okay.
Oh, man.
So, and mm-hmm. Now God wanted man to have circumcision, and one of the reasons why that was a covenant between him and his man, but he wanted him every day to look at his sex organ and understand, as he handled his sex organ, that this sex organ is consecrated to God. Okay. And there was a revelation that came to him because circumcision did not come without pain. So every time he went to the restroom, he had to think about God.
Yep.
Wow.
Now that there will preach.
Preach all day long, man. Look, ladies and gentlemen, we are at the well. The Men at the Well is a show for men, about men, where men can come and bear and be ministered to. I pray that every man that's listening right now is being blessed. I am. And we'll take these things and do like the Bible says in Joshua, meditate on it. As the cow chews the cud, you know, go back and when this comes up, go back and get it. If you're able to go to the website and play it again and play it for your friends, send it out. This is a powerful show. It's right, but it's tight, but it's right, as we used to say. And I'm enjoying myself with two of my brothers. And Lonnie, go come on, Lonnie, dig a little deeper here. You know, Lonnie. I've been doing this a little longer than me, so we try to learn to lead people to where God wants us to go. And the Holy Spirit is definitely moving right now.
Well, you know, just to tie into what Pastor Donovan just stated, it shows that God is intimately involved in the affairs of man. And you start thinking about referencing it from that vantage point, that every time you go to do something that you do daily, to remind you of the covenant that you have with the Creator of all, it really hits home an understanding, and it brings like further light to the scripture where he says he knows the hairs on our head. But when you start talking about the male appendage, then you start really talking about that God is serious about the relationship that he has with us. If I could just kind of string this out further, you gentlemen were talking about abortion, you know, killing of the innocents, and I've always stated that you will not begin to see a stem of the tide on this horrid practice, of which I'm an post-abortive father as well, until the men take their rightful place, take a stand, and then do something that Pastor Walter Roy shared with me many years ago. He says, you know, the men got to be willing to lay down in front of the bus. He was talking about in general, but specifically, the men need to be able to stand in the gap on behalf of that mother-to-be, especially if they are the father-to-be, and say, hey, I know it looks dire, the consequences, and this looks like a convenient solution, but we have to work something out, and be willing to lay down in front of the car to keep her from going, or more to the point, don't take her, because if you go to most abortion clinics, and Pastor Rivers, I know you know this from standing in front of clinics yourself personally, those young ladies that are brought to those clinics are dropped off often by the fathers-to-be, as if those women were going to get their teeth cleaned, you know what I mean, at the dentist. And so we've got to take a rightful stand, but we have to understand who we are. When we understand who we are as men, in the truest sense of the world, not this false bravado that you see depicted in hip-hop culture and through other things depicted in popular culture today, but understand from a biblical standpoint what true masculinity is, abortion will be the – they don't even have to pass any laws to stop abortion. The abortion clinics would just shut down for lack of business.
Wow. Let me say one thing, and we're gonna start it here between the three of us. The Bible says the threefold cord is not easily broken, but I want us to touch and agree on the fact that I will henceforth no longer call Planned Parenthood a clinic. Amen. What the Holy Ghost brought us to Pat Donovan, a clinic is a place where you go to get helped, and they're not helping us. They're not helping us as men, helping us, especially as black men, when we're still basically 30-some percent, and we're only 13% of the population, and men being only 6.5% of that part of the population, they're not helping us at all. And they certainly aren't helping. Abortion hurts women. I'm sorry. And people don't understand that, and I know maybe they, but it does. You know, I know too many women that have dealt with it, but it also hurts men. Amen. The male post-abortion trauma that we've experienced, we have lacked in doing what we're supposed to do because we have circumvented or short-circuited the lineage that God predestined before the foundation of the world. So, amen. I'm through. Go ahead.
The social, the gaslighters and the social engineers, they have watched the pro-life movement for years and say, and this is what they do. And you can look at it on Google. You can Google it and see these videos on YouTube. They sit and they say, let's see how we can make their terminology cause them to lose.
Yes.
And so they have been very cunning and crafty. And so the pro-life movement, God bless the whole groups, but they have not become relevant. We should call them killing stations or murdering centers. Now, when we start doing that, there's going to be a backlash, but what it does starts teaching a whole nother generation, we don't want to murder kids. Now, I'll tell you, in the black community is very conservative in many, many ways. They don't, you know, if you talk to, we'll do fundraisers and gang members and drug dealers. They'll come up and say, give us money. And they say, please, please help the young babies not to become like me.
Wow.
You know, but they don't want to kill babies. You know,
right.
But when they put it in the realm of health care, they're teaching these social engineers, they frame this messaging up. So that people accept it. But we need to change that to say they're kill centers. They're murdering centers. They are the centers for Holocaust.
Ooh. Glory.
Ooh. That's exactly what they are.
And then if we are so weak and cowardice as leaders that we're so moved and our feelings are hurt because we get persecuted, we may as well throw in the towel. Because in order for there to be a change, there's got to be some disruption. Now, I'm not advocating violence. I'm not advocating violence. But look, I had people that I was friends with for life. I mean, these were high school friends. And they disconnected themselves from me because I supported Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we live in this world of ideology that does not exist. My friends must be, as a man of God, my friends and my brothers must be those that hear the word of God and do it.
Right.
So along the way, I am going to lose some people, and I'm going to gain some people. Look, I've got two brothers right here on the telephone that, you know, we're going to be committed to each other. So. But on the other end of that, in 30 days, my social network grew 400 people.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, I can say, Pastor Donovan, I can say when I was with Pastor Clenard at the Say So March, if you love the children, say so, which I attend every year. And we go to Jersey, Philadelphia, Baltimore, and D.C. And on the last day, we marched from the Smithsonian where the Margaret Sanger buses in the museum and the struggle for freedom, the struggle for freedom, Lonnie, or struggle for justice, section of the Smithsonian, between a portrait of Dr. Martin Luther King and Sister Rosa Parks. And it's in there, but she's not part of our struggle for freedom. She was part of the struggle to kill as many black folks and exterminate them like weeds. And so we marched from that place down to the new African-American Museum. And beautiful place, thousands of people walking around. And my social media, I got 400 friend requests that day. That day, standing out telling people about the Holocaust, about the reality of what it was. Of course, some people, they didn't appreciate our signs. Pastor Bernard has these signs, I think of the side of a truck, that graphically tell the story. You know, he's unashamed, you know, blackgenocide.org, he don't play, and he's been in this fight. I'm a new kid on the block when it comes to these generals that I hang with. Pastor Johnny Hunter, the founder of LEARN, which is the largest and oldest African-American pro-life group in the world. We figured that out. And so I'm standing with giants in this thing, and then the Lord puts another pastor like Donovan Lockett, who's unashamed. Y'all see this. He's unashamed the way we're talking here. I got about 10 minutes left on the show, but I applaud you, Pastor Donovan. I applaud you, Lonnie Poindexter, for your stand, and the other men and women who stand with us around this great nation. You know, we're not moved by what we see. We're moved by what God has commanded us to do. And that's where I'm at. You know, and I lose a lot of friends daily behind, you know, you're not who I, what happened to you? You know, and I realize that when somebody asks me what happened to me, that's a beautiful thing. You're not looking at me like I used to be. I'm grateful that God has changed my look, changed my walk, changed my talk. And I wanted to do more. I have no fear. I mean, you know, when I was out there ripping and running, I should have been scared enough to die. But I'm still here, and I still get to stand on the shoulders of men like you two men, and I am truly honored today. What a great program God has allowed me to be a part of today. And I can't thank both of you enough. I can't thank my engineer for bringing it together like this, because I don't know. She just hollered, "You better preach." So we are on the same page, you know. Tribe Family Channel. Before we close out, I want you to both y'all to tell us where we can reach you. Pastor Donovan, you said something earlier, but you know, give them the main one where they can get you. Brother Lonnie, give them where they can meet you. I'm going to let you guys say it, but I want everybody to know they come to Tribe Family Channel at www.blogtalkradio.com/Gumbo for the Soul, and at our parent, at the parent company, Gumbo for the Soul International, and our executive producer, Mr. Bruce George, Genius is Common, at www.geniusiscommon.com. And as I told you, this young man is the founder of Deaf Poetry Jam with Russell Simmons. And you can always reach me at Bruce E. Rivers on Facebook. They made me take Pastor off my name after we supported Benjamin Netanyahu that time. So the Facebook shut me down and put me back up. But or you can go to Men for Life. Those are the two pages. And go ahead, Lonnie, Pastor Donald, I'll let Pastor Donald do finishing up. Lonnie, tell us where we can reach you.
Sure, you can excuse me, you can catch my show Monday through Fridays at UrbanFamilyTalk.com. That's UrbanFamilyTalk.com. We're a national radio platform, and we operate in two formats, over the Internet and also over traditional radio towers across the country. You can find out where we broadcast in your community by going to UrbanFamilyTalk.com and click on the About link. It'll tell you where we have towers across the country. Our potential listenership reach is about 2.5 million now, and we're growing. We just picked up Memphis, Tennessee about 6 months ago, and the show is titled Lion Chasers with Lonnie Poindexter, and I'm sure would love for you to come by and visit. And on Mondays is called Man School Monday. So I have to thank Pastor Donovan Larkins for that, and we'll talk about issues that relate to true masculinity. And, gentlemen, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Lonnie, don't go anywhere, because I'm just going to be real brief. People can contact me on Facebook at Donovan Larkins. And you can Google me, and you'll see everything that we're doing, at least a lot of it. But Lonnie, would you kind of take some time and just the rest and share what we're going to be doing working together with Kenneth McClinton? I am so excited about this, brother. Folks, this is a man of God out in D.C. His daughter was killed by gang members, and he's just taking the bull by the horn, and we're going to help him everywhere we can, but he's decided to help support Protecting Innocence. Can you say a little bit about those shows that's coming up, Lonnie?
I sure can. I'm pleased to be a part of a new show that will be launched on the on Kenneth McClinton's new network, which he calls the Exceptional Conservative Network. His show is titled The Exceptional Conservative Show, which broadcasts here in our nation's capital Monday through Friday in the evenings. I believe the show time is 8 p.m. Eastern, and he broadcasts for it's a three-hour format. And then there's a new launch with a morning drive show and also an afternoon drive show. And I'll be co-hosting that afternoon drive show with Pastor Ralph J. Chittum, Ralph J. Chittum Sr. And the name of that show is The Right Guy. That's the tentative title, and that will launch on Thursday. So we're very excited about that. And this will be tying into Kenneth McClinton's. You mentioned his story. Yeah, he lost his daughter last year in May. Happened to be in the wrong place at the right times, and young black males with no paternal leadership in gunplay, and they took her life as they were shooting at each other. And so we're going to be pushing back on the darkness that exists across our great nation. And again, this is about men standing up and taking their rightful place.
And Kenneth has agreed to start helping raise money for Protecting Innocence so that we have some. And that's just incredible. Unusual people coming together for a very, very important time. And I want you all, it's the listeners, to get involved. You can call us at 937-889-0047. Hit Lonnie up or Pastor Bruce. And be involved with this movement, because we are going to make a difference.
Amen. Let me say, I want to say before we leave, this is my last show before Christmas. My next show will be December 27th. But I want to say Merry Christmas. We've already discussed that. We don't mind saying it, none of us. And I know Tribe Family Channel don't mind saying it. We say Merry Christmas to all of you listening today, and we're thankful. And I will. This show is going to be bomb. It's going to be replayed, I'm sure. And my producer asked me, Lonnie, if you could come on the December 27th show or the January 4th show. So I'll let you decide on that. What I was just asking. Huh?
We'll make it happen. Whatever works best. I'm here to serve.
Okay, well, then that's not a problem, producer. Let me say I've enjoyed this, but guess what? I want to say this. I know I'm working on something to work with Pastor Donovan here in California. We didn't get into the thing, but you can go to his site, go to YouTube, and type in Chicano Ranch, you will be able to see some of the wonderful work Pastor Donovan is doing. They've got great YouTube videos. And Pastor Donovan, I'm going to see this. Pastor Donovan is one of three or four or five black men in America that has worked directly with one of the agencies. And I'm not going to tell you the whole thing. You have to listen to this. You have to tune in to hear it. So we are, but my next show, I'll have Avery Washington and Gary Hines of the Sounds of Blackness. That's who's going to be on my 27th show. So then, Avery Washington and Gary Hines of the Sounds of Blackness. So my producer's doing some dynamite stuff, locking up some people. We're trying to get Nick Cannon to come on our show, you know, with his recent resurfacing of his video, Can I Live, which he made in 2005. And, of course, you know, he's been really knocking it down. I am grateful today. Pastor Dominguez, thank you so much. I'm going to ask you to close us in prayer. As we close out, then the music will start. And, but man, thank both of you for making my day. Thank you, my two brothers from other mothers, but the same father. We love you, everybody. Don't forget www.blogtalkradio.com/double for the soul and www.geniusescommon.com. I'm Pastor Bruce. God bless everybody. Go ahead, Pastor Douglas.
Father, I just thank you for the opportunity and for the power to impact people. And, Lord, we pray for you to open the eyes of the understanding of our listeners. Stir their hearts. Don't let them sleep until they find the truth that's in Christ. In Jesus' name.
Thank you both, gentlemen. Thank
Never
you.
Never would have made it.
Never would have made it without you, Lord. God bless.
Never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over all you brought me through, I can see that you were the one I held on to, and I never,
never would have made it.
Oh, I never could have made it. Ah!
Somebody just needs to testify to somebody next to him. Tell him, I'm stronger. I'm wiser. I'm better. Much better. When I look back over what he brought me through, I realize I made it because I had you to hold on to. Now I'm stronger. Now I'm wiser. I'm better. So much better. I made it. Is there anybody in this house other than me that could declare you made it? Tell your neighbor, never would have made it.
Never would have made it.
Tell him, never could have made it.
Never could have made it.
Oh, I wish I had some help here. I wish I had just two or three people that would just declare it. Never would have made it.
Never could have made it.
Never could have made it. I just love to encourage myself. Sometimes I just look in the mirror and say, I'm stronger. I'm wise. I am better. So much better. When I look back over what he brought me through, I realize I made it because I had you to hold on to. But I never would have made it. I never could have made it without you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, good God Almighty, never would have made it.
Never would have made it.
Never could have made it.
Never could have made it without you.
Sing it one more time. All I need is just one more time. Everybody say with me.
Never would have made it.
Oh.